You mentioned that in your study, you're looking at people who are partaking in all the different forms of yoga. And I guess I've been confused. So yoga is not yoga. There's a few different variations. Could you just run us through, I guess, some of the differences in the main types of yoga that people can do?
Sure. Even though I'm not an expert in the field, I'm not a yoga teacher, unlike what some of the media reported.
Okay.
But I am a yoga practitioner, so, sure. So I'm a student. I enjoy practicing yoga, and I've been doing that for the last 10 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
From a completely non-expert point of view, yes, there are some very different types of yoga. Probably the most popular is the vinyasa yoga, so it's a type of flow that can vary in terms of intensity from the more gentle to the a bit faster. Then there is the prenatal yoga, of course, which is directed to women who are pregnant, and that is a gentle form of yoga. Then there is restorative yoga, which involves placing people into certain positions and maintaining this position for relatively longer periods of time. Iyengar yoga and lots and lots of different types of yoga. Then there is the more modern types of most people would classify those as purely yoga, like yoga Lattice that combines Pilates and yoga.
Okay.
So there is a wide variety of yoga types.
Because it's an ancient technique, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's an ancient Indian technique. It has changed over the years, especially since it's moved to the West.
Mm.
It has gained a lot of popularity lately in the West, in the United States, Europe, and in Australia. But yoga, and again, just from a student's point of view, I'm not an expert in this field, used to be the preparation for meditation. So it is the physical part that you would do in order to be able to maintain the meditation positions for longer periods of time. But of course, now it has evolved to a physical activity. But it's commonly combined with a meditative part at the end. So, again, there are all these different types.
Well, we're talking about the effects or benefits of yoga, and you have undertaken a study where you were looking at different people over a time period in New York. So what was your approach? How did you approach this study?
In terms of the study, it was a relatively small survey in just one yoga practice with two different studios in suburban New York City.
Okay.
I guess the unique thing about this study in the yoga world was that it was prospective. So we sent a survey, an electronic survey, to all people who had email addresses registered with that specific yoga studio, and we established the baseline. So we asked them questions about how much pain do you have and what body regions that you have pain from a musculoskeletal point of view.
Mm.
So mainly for bones, joints, and muscles. And a year later, we went back, and the same people, and there was very few of the almost 5,000 people that we contacted, very few of them responded, which is understandable.
Mm.
I think over 400 responded. And then a year later, we sent to these people who initially responded another survey asking them about the pain that they had, the musculoskeletal pain that they have now. And if they said that they do have some pain, then we asked them about what is their perception about the effect that yoga had on this pain. Did it help? Did it increase the pain? Did you feel that yoga was associated with the development of a new pain, and all these related questions?
So it was mainly focusing on musculoskeletal pain.
That was
the key parameter.
Okay. Is correct, yeah.
So you were surveying 300 or 400 people over a year was the time frame.
That is correct.
So what were the key findings?
The main finding, and for myself, the most surprising, was that 87% of people experience some form of musculoskeletal pain over the course of the year. And that, to me, was concerning. And it does highlight how prevalent musculoskeletal pain is and how much of a problem it is. There was a very large study that was done recently on the global burden of disease that tried to quantify the different domains of disease and the different types and how much effect they had on global disability. And musculoskeletal was number two. So a lot of people have back pain and neck pain and shoulder pain and knee pain, and that is a major finding. And unfortunately, just because of the perception that it's not very serious, if you have back pain, then that's not a serious issue, and it's certainly not as serious as some of the other more fatal diseases, but it is a major problem and it causes a lot of disability. So that was the first finding. Now the second finding was that yoga was perceived largely as beneficial to musculoskeletal pain.
Okay.
So in 2/3 of the participants who replied to us, they reported that especially neck and back pain, yoga was beneficial for that. And then the final finding was that about a bit more than 10% of people reported that they perceived that yoga caused or it was associated with the development of a new pain that they didn't have before. And 1/5, so 21%, they reported that yoga exacerbated the pain that they already had. And when we drill a bit further into the types of pain, it was mainly on the upper extremities, on the wrists and hands and elbows and shoulders, where they perceived that new pain was developed and that the pain was exacerbated due to yoga.
I guess that pain is quite a complex term, though. It could be small, or were you looking at varying levels of pain?
Exactly, and that is some of the limitations of research in general. It was all self-report, obviously,
so it's
very hard to measure pain objectively. And to a certain extent, yeah, that was one of the issues. That we asked some follow-up questions, mainly about if you did have pain and it was due to yoga, did that cause you to stop? First of all, did you feel it during the yoga class or an hour later or for the next day? And secondly, did you have to stop doing yoga at least for a day in order to due to this pain? And about half of them, they actually said yes, that they had to stop doing yoga. I think overall, out of everybody that we surveyed, 4% of them said that that the pain was serious enough that they had to stop practicing yoga for different periods of time.
I find it interesting that you said it was a 10% of people who said that they had had this pain over the year because they thought it was attributed to the yoga.
Correct.
So this is not the first study in this area. How do your findings here compare to previous studies in this particular area?
Yeah, you would think that there is a large body of literature on this because yoga is very popular.
Mm.
Sadly, there is not.
Okay.
And actually, our study was, it should be considered as a small step towards trying to complete this bigger picture. There are very few studies in this area and they all have very different methodologies. So I don't want to bore your listeners with the methodological
with the details.
Parts. But a lot of this depends on the case definition. What do you consider as an injury? Some of the previous studies, they reported injury rates between 1 and 2.4%. Looking at the injury definition, again, they're quite different between studies. That's probably more comparable to our 4%.
Okay.
So our study suggests that yoga injuries may be possibly just a bit higher, but again, it should be viewed over, you know, with the limitations of the study, which were significant. We're still only one studio, so we're not generalizing by any means.
I have recently started doing martial arts, as all the producers here know. And I realized that my flexibility is really bad. We were trying to touch our toes before, and oh man, I'm nowhere near. So I've been kind of considering, as a consequence of finding this out, of doing yoga. So for people like me, or for other people listening who are like, yeah, maybe I'd like to give yoga a go. From these findings, do you have any sort of overarching advice for people wanting to give it a crack?
Well, I guess, and I think that's very obvious for people who are taking yoga classes, men tend to be not very well represented in these classes. Flexibility, especially hamstring flexibility, so flexibility like trying to touch your toes, is an issue because you require a bit of that in order to get into some of the postures for yoga. Now, again, my personal opinion is that those who do have the limited flexibility probably do need to do yoga more just because it can help with that. It certainly can help by repeatedly putting you into these postures. Now, overall, my advice is that, and the findings of the study largely corroborate that, yoga is a relatively safe activity. Injuries can happen, especially on the upper extremities, but as long as there is good communication with the yoga teacher, so the yoga teacher should give permission to the students to get out of the positions that may feel uncomfortable or they may cause pain. New students in yoga classes, they should do these postures, especially those that put a lot of weight on the upper extremities, gradually and with caution at the beginning until their body gets used to it. But yeah, overall, it's a very, very safe type of activity. The meditation at the end is really helpful. And hopefully you'll do another segment on the benefits of meditation. And there is a lot of research on that. But yeah, I highly encourage people, but I also encourage them to communicate carefully with their teachers. But also if they're recovering from injury, have your healthcare professional, your physiotherapist or your doctor, discuss with your yoga teacher the specific injuries that you had and what postures are safe for you, what postures may not be as safe initially.